Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Four, free record on my count. Seven, six, five, four, three, two, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Well, happy Friday afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a special two-hour edition of the Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting the show live today from Midtown in Hattiesburg at Fuzzy's Tacos. And we have got a lineup of guests waiting for you throughout the day. Scott Berry, head baseball coach, is about to join us, along with Melissa Socher from Mississippi Made and More. We've got Reggie Collier, the Perfect Ten, on the show today. Jim Carmody, Big Nasty himself. Justin Harris, a lot to do over the next couple of hours. We're very excited about it, and we thank you for tuning in around the state on the Super Talk Network and online at various locations around the state. We appreciate that. All right, we want to get started today. Caleb Hamill is producing for us on scene. Kelly Santer is there. We've got Coach Scott Berry and Melissa on the set to kick things off. But, Kelly, before I get started, can you identify for me what Caleb is wearing?
He is actually wearing a gold Southern Miss hat with the new logo on the top, a gray Southern Miss polo. You gotta cut the tag off of it, Caleb.
I've gotta fix that.
And he's wearing khakis. He's in perfect Southern Miss attire for a homecoming weekend here at Fuzzy's Tacos, where it's a beautiful, partly cloudy day, even a little warm, you know, today for the fall. But all in all, a beautiful day, and we're glad to be here, Bob.
We are. Caleb, I just want to tell you real quickly, one of the goals on our show is to always lead people from the darkness of those northern schools into the light, and we're just delighted this afternoon to know that we've accomplished that with you. So congratulations. Welcome to the light, Caleb.
Well, I've lived here in Hattiesburg since 2017, and I just decided it is time for me to just adopt some culture here. Some.
There we go.
Keyword some there. And thanks to a big sponsor of the Eagle Hour as well, Campus Bookmart, for being the place where I got hooked up with my new Southern Miss apparel. This is the only set that I've got, so hopefully it holds up, and I think thanks to the folks at Campus Bookmart, it definitely will.
All right, Caleb, we appreciate you, man. We're glad to have you on the show today, and Caleb's a big part of our Super Talk family, and we're always happy to have Caleb on hand. All right, head baseball coach Scott Berry, Melissa Socher from Mississippi and More, they're both with us today, and Melissa has done really an awesome job on something very, very important. We're just in a few minutes going to tell you about that. But, Coach, while we have you here, first of all, I want to thank you because I know that in less than an hour you start fall baseball, but yet you're willing to come on the Eagle Hour. You got to be pretty excited about having your guys back on the field this afternoon.
Yeah, we really are, Bob. I tell you, we've been working hard since we all got back to school in August and doing a lot of small group work and some individual stuff. So guys have been really working hard, and this is the time of the fall that we all look forward to, is coming together as a team for the next 45 days and really testing our skills and developing our skills and getting everything ready for spring ball.
We lost, some big players in Walker Powell, Stanley, Ock, Trimble, but you've got a lot of kids coming back. Eight of your nine position players coming back that started last year, and some good pitching. So I got to believe you're really optimistic. I know you got to fill some big roles, but you got really a talented roster to do that with.
Well, we returned 25 guys from last year's team. A lot of them, like you just alluded to, the eight position players that return that were pretty much full-time starters. So we're very excited about their return. We do miss Reed Trimble, who was an exciting player for us, went in the second round or compensation B round, and has now chose to move his career into the professional ranks. So wish him well. But what an outstanding player he is. Of course, Powell and Stanley and Ock, those three guys will be missed as well. But, you know, every program, every school, whether every sport each year has got to replace guys that were impact players for them the year before. And this is no different for the Golden Eagles with the baseball team this year. We've got to replace those guys, and you hope that there's some guys ready to step in and fill that void.
20 or 30 years ago, Coach Barry, the difference between a freshman and a senior was glaring. You rarely saw freshmen play at the varsity level in any sport, but it appears that those gaps are closing over time. Is that a reasonable assessment? And if so, why are freshmen and seniors closer together talent-wise now than ever before?
Well, I just think probably it's the developmental part of baseball before they get to us. I think, you know, if it's a junior college kid, of course, I know we're talking about freshmen, but I think that the junior college ranks has really improved and continues to prove as baseball does. But, you know, I think amateur baseball is at its all-time highest of just talent and ability, and there seems to be a lot more technology out there, Kelly, that is really moving and developing these kids to be better players earlier than we saw before.
You talk about spin rates and all those. That's one of the things that they're all about nowadays. Can we go too far with technology and take the heart out of decision making?
Well, I hope not. You know, certainly last night watching that game, and I pointed out to my wife, Laura, that they had the guy played perfectly right up the middle. Would have been a base hit. And I said, you know, 10 years ago, you know, or less than that, 5 years ago, that ball would have been a base hit. But the analytics, everything, and the spreadsheets of thousands and thousands of at-bats where people hit balls has placed players in those positions to take away those. So, you know, at some point, I guess it'll top itself out. I really don't know. It seems like it just continues to improve in that aspect of the game each year.
And how, regarding your program directly, how has the additional COVID year affected recruiting and where everybody falls in the pecking order?
Well, you know, obviously it's log jammed a lot of things because with everybody getting their year back, has pushed everybody back behind them, even to the high school kids. So, you know, there's a lot of good players out there right now that are really searching for places to go that where there's no roster space for them to go at our level. I get calls every day about kids that are eligible to come to us, but we just don't have room for them. And that's exactly what COVID did, is it moved everything back for kids and logjam things. So every program is in that adjustment period with roster management, which has become one of the most difficult things for my job to do over here the last couple of years.
Well, Coach, isn't this true?
Coming from a perspective.
Go ahead.
I'll take one and then I'll go back ahead to you, Bob. Sure. For your team specifically, being in Mississippi, place that really embraces college baseball, even high school baseball, is huge, especially here in the Pine Belt area. For your job, we just got off the subject of recruiting. What does it do now to have not just a state that loves baseball, but also NIL deals that are able to happen? Because I feel like for any athletic program at Southern Miss, I think baseball has the biggest opportunity to take advantage of that.
You know, Caleb, we haven't really seen anything yet in our program with the NIL. I'm sure with time that'll start gravitating to us. But at this point right now, it hasn't been really mentioned a whole lot to me about any of our players. But you're right on the first part of your statement. The Pine Belt is rich in baseball talent at all levels, and certainly Southern Miss benefits from that and has for several years. Been here 21 going on 22 years, and we've always prided ourselves on the local athlete and trying to make them a part of our program that'll help us be successful as well as them.
Hey, Coach, I don't want to single out any one player, but when I look at some of the kids you've got returning, it seems to me that you've got a young pitcher who has an opportunity to become a really big star, and that's Ben Etheridge. Can you comment on how important you think he'll be to the program in the next couple of years?
Well, Ben obviously is a kid that in the COVID year in 2020 really set himself up to be a very successful player. And just the way that he took the mound as a freshman, Kelly alluded to how many freshmen now are playing a big part in four-year programs, and that's one example right there. Ben, another one of our long list of All-Americans as a freshman. That 2020 year, he followed up last year with another great year as one of our four starters. He's just a guy that really knows how to compete. He controls the strike zone. He works hard on his game each and every day. A lot of the analytical things that we talked about with spin rate, you know, he's involved with that, trying to make himself better and each pitch better. So, young man's got a very bright future, but I think the biggest thing with Ben Etheridge is he really fills up the strike zone and he really doesn't ever beat himself.
So what do you want to try to get accomplished this fall, Coach, especially the fact that you got a lot of guys, you know, coming back?
Well, the number one thing that we'll stress today, and it'll be the opening remarks, is I want us to make mistakes this fall. I think it's very important that we make mistakes as a team out there, and it's not going to cost us anything in a fall practice period. But what it can do is it can win us games in the spring if we all learn from those mistakes. Now, where you get really upset with mistakes is if when you start making the same mistake again. You know, it's going to be encouraged to learn from each other's mistakes. It's all right to make them. Let's learn from them and move forward, but let's don't continue to make those same mistakes over and find a way to beat ourselves. So with that, Kelly, it's going to be no different than learning our bunt defenses, all our relay systems, our first and thirds, just trying to get everybody on the same page. I don't really think that program to program that they do much different. A lot of times what becomes different is the fact that the terminology may be different. Maybe that that junior college kid that has transitioned to us this year, it may be the same thing, but our terminology may be different from where they came from. Just like a traditional student and the high school player, it may be different from the high school program that he was at. So we want to try to get everybody on the same page and learn how to play Golden Eagle baseball the way we want it.
And baseball coach Scott Berry is with us. We're broadcasting live. The Eagle Hour is at Midtown Hattiesburg. Melissa Socher from Mississippi Made and More. She's going to be coming on here after the break. Big announcement to make, something Eagle Hour is very proud to be a part of and something we hope that everyone that listens to this show will participate in. We'll have all the details on the other side of this special two-hour edition of the Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to a two-hour edition of the Eagle Hour, broadcasting live this afternoon from Fuzzy's Tacos in Midtown Hattiesburg. And we're glad to have the opportunity to go back to Fuzzy's. Helps us remember things are getting back to normal. Reggie Collier, Jim Carmody still to join us. Justin from Fuzzy's going to be on the show as well. But right now, we want to bring Coach Berry back along with Melissa Socher from Mississippi Made and More and Keith Co. Superstores. And let me kind of set the stage for this, folks. When Melissa calls you and says, I have a project I'd like for you to help me with, you're happy to do that. She showed me instantly how dedicated to this she was. I mean, she took this tiger by the tail and ran with it. And it is for a wonderful cause. Thanks to Melissa. A lot of us have joined forces with her, and we are going to raise some money for our former baseball coach, Corky Palmer, who everyone knows has suffered some severe health challenges and continues to do that. And Melissa, first of all, I want to thank you for inviting Eagle Hour to be a part of this. And I want you to let people know exactly what we're doing here, because this is all your baby, and you're the one responsible for putting all of this in motion. So tell our listeners exactly what we're doing, Melissa, and how they can participate.
We have started a raffle for medical expenses incurred by Corky Palmer and his family, and we'll be raffling off a beautiful 18 by 18 stained glass piece that was handcrafted by none other than Barbara Gandy, the daughter of Pete Taylor, and took her a long time to make the piece, and that will be the grand prize for the drawing. Raffle tickets will be $20 a piece. We wanted to make them very affordable for everybody, but there's no limit as to how many you can buy. Or you can make direct donations to support Corky's medical expenses through the portal. And the portal is Galabid. So you just go to Galabid online, G-A-L-A-B-I-D, and keyword Corky Palmer medical expenses, and the raffle portal will come up where you can purchase tickets or make a direct donation. You can also make walk-in donations to any The First Bank in the area.
Melissa, what got you thinking about this, and what was the genesis of this idea?
Barbara is a vendor of mine, so she's brought in several stained glass pieces, absolutely beautiful work. She's so talented, and she began working on Eagle Heads and Southern Miss stained glass that she's brought into my store. And flipping the page for a moment, my kids take baseball lessons from Jeff Ferris, and he's a longtime USM baseball supporter and a good friend of Corky Palmer. And Jeff came up with the idea. He and Barbara are good friends, and he started talking to me about maybe doing a fundraiser for Corky. And again, Barbara is a vendor in my store, and we just came up with the stained glass piece, and it's a home plate, very suitable for a Corky fundraiser. And it's got his, you know, in honor of Corky Palmer, his dates of being head coach at USM, and his number, 44, on it. So it's priceless. It's memorable. It's something that anybody would love to have. And we're trying to gather 10 items total. We've got about 6 so far. We're being very selective in that process to get things that people would just absolutely love to have. Priceless, very limited items. So when you go to the portal, and again, it's Galabed, you can see all of the items that we've gathered so far and pictures of them as well.
We're going to have Barbara on the show here in just a few minutes. Coach Berry, when Melissa and I first talked about this, we both knew that the minute we contacted you that you would jump completely on board and helping. And when I called you, that is exactly what your response is. What would you like to say to the Golden Eagle Baseball Nation about an opportunity here to help someone who means so much to you and to so many people in the Southern Miss baseball family?
Well, you know, Bob, I'm just honored to be a part of it. I knew it was a great opportunity when you and Melissa presented it with me, and Barbara showed it to the stained glass picture of it after church one evening. And Coach Palmer, as you alluded to, he's like a brother to me. I mean, he's given me every opportunity to better myself as not only a coach but as a person, and worked with me for 16 years. So we're very, very close. But I think when you look at him and the lives that he's affected, and I'm not just talking about the players that played for him, but I'm talking about the fans that were able to come and watch the great times and the things that he did as a head coach here in providing this long and consistent tradition of Southern Miss baseball. You know, he provided a lot of good times for people, and I think it's a great time right now for us to all gather together and try to help him in these difficult medical times.
And Coach, I know you're going to be reaching out to members of the Dugout Club, I think, through email. I think the same thing is going to be happening with the Eagle Club, as I know the university has been willing to obviously pitch in and help here. Can you let Dugout Club members know what to look for and how they can help in this endeavor?
Absolutely. If you're a current Dugout Club member or one from last year and you're on our email list, which we have over 500 Dugout Club members, you'll be receiving an email this afternoon from Keller Bradford, our new Director of Player Development / Operations person, giving all the details about the fundraiser and the link that Melissa mentioned earlier that people can go to and purchase these raffle tickets, as well as going to the first and making a donation if that's what you want to do.
Melissa, I know you put a lot of work into this. Have you got a goal in mind, or do you just want to try to do as much as we can humanly do to help Coach Palmer?
You know, all of the folks that are helping out in this, we've all said, you know, something is better than nothing. I've been in this situation, you know, with a family member before where, you know, all of your funds are just depleted. Even if you have, you know, really good insurance, there's just a lot of extra expenses out there. And so every dollar earned is very appreciated. And no, we don't have a goal. The sky's the limit. I'll just say that.
Okay. and we really haven't said, Melissa, too, as to when the deadline is,
right,
when the drawings are going to take place, things like that.
We'll hold the drawing on opening day of college baseball. Very suitable. That was Coach Berry's idea. So we'll do something special on that day, February 18th.
Great.
And we do know that's going to be against North Al. Yeah. Right?
Sal.
Right. February 18th, the opener at the Pete this next year, 2022.
Is Coach Palmer aware of this fundraising effort? I'm curious to know that.
He is. I went and visited with him on Wednesday up there for about an hour and 15 minutes and had a great visit. I'm very appreciative of this and all the help that people have given so far. So, but I did make him aware of what was going on and what we were doing. And trust me, he was very appreciative of it.
Well, like you, Coach Berry, Coach Palmer has touched a lot of young men's lives and molded a lot of young men. And I know you hear from a lot of those. They're not kids anymore. They're young men. There are a lot of people that have been touched by this difficulty that Coach is facing. Am I right?
Oh, there's no doubt. I get calls all the time. I actually had two text messages today, Bob, from former players and even one former coach, you know, wanting to know how Coach Palmer was. David Pierce, the University of Texas Longhorns head coach, reached out to me and wanted to know how he was doing. So we exchanged texts. So, you know, this isn't just a regional thing. This is a national thing. There's a lot of people over the years that Coach has come into contact and built relationships, and those people are, you know, they're concerned and they want to know how he's doing, and certainly hope that he continues to try to rehab and get better.
And I know a lot of times in fundraising efforts like this, you'll go up to somebody. I this happens to me all the time. I'll go, man, why didn't you get a ticket for whatever drawdown? And I'm stunned at the number of people say, nobody asked me.
Right.
You know, I'd be glad to do it. I didn't know what was going on. I'd be glad to. So here you are being asked to help. Okay. And so you can't use that as an excuse. I didn't know what was going on. And it just got started officially when, Melissa?
Yesterday morning, and we're already about 2,200 up.
So that's one day. Okay? Yeah. Okay. So once the word gets out and this mushrooms and spreads, there's no telling, you know, how far it could go. And good. That's what it's all about. You know, Mississippi, people make fun of Mississippi for a lot of things. But when the charitable list comes out every year, percentage of income going toward charities, Mississippi's always at the top of that list. And for that,
we take care of each other.
Yeah, for that, I'm very proud.
Yeah, Coach, so, we want to thank you for taking
this. You're welcome. I don't know if Melissa mentioned it or not, but those raffle tickets can also be purchased at her store, Mississippi
right.
Made More, as well. So tremendous store out there. Great, great local items. She really supports local and really advertises and promotes that. Now, that's important. And as we look at this fundraiser, this is certainly for something that's local.
So if you buy them online, Melissa, do they actually send you tickets or do they just like assign you a number?
You're assigned an order number, and okay. That is your raffle number. And it's sent immediately to your email address.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't even – and do you have to be there for the opener against North Al to win?
You do not. You
okay.
do not have
but you
to.
Should
But we
be.
Would love for you to.
Yes, of course.
We highly encourage that.
Well, the reason I ask that is for anybody regionally that can't get here
right.
for whatever reason. There's no, you know, there's no reason not to buy it. You don't have to be here.
Right.
You know?
And we'll also be selling raffle tickets up until the last minute, even if it's at that game on that day.
Right.
We'll be selling tickets at the door.
All right, Coach Berry, I want to thank you for taking the time to come talk to us, helping us with this great cause. I know you got baseball practice to get to. And as always, sir, a pleasure to have you on the Eagle Hour.
Well, it's my pleasure, Bob. Thank you.
Coach Scott Berry, everybody. Melissa will be with us. We're also going to bring Barbara Gandy on the show right after this. Stay with us.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the Eagle Hour. Bob Getty. I'm broadcasting from the First Bank studio here in Hattiesburg. I want to thank First Bank for their sponsorship of this two-hour edition of the Eagle Hour. Reggie Collier from First Bank, the Perfect 10. He'll be joining us in the next hour. We always look forward to that. We're always grateful to First Bank for all they've done since day one of this program. And again, our thanks to First Bank. We've got Caleb Hamill on location along with Kelly Center. They're in Midtown at Fuzzy's Taco. Caleb producing the show for us today. Kelly co-hosting. And joining us right now, Melissa Socher is back from Mississippi Made and More, but also Miss Barbara Gandy, Barbara Taylor Gandy, who is the artist that created this beautiful piece of artwork that is going to be the centerpiece
of the raffle for our former baseball coach, Corky Palmer. Ms. Gandy, welcome to the program. I've seen your work. It's absolutely gorgeous. I wonder what gave you the idea to do this and initiate this great prize that will be the centerpiece of this fundraising effort.
Well, you know, when something happens like this, you just don't know what to do, but you want to do something. And when I retired several years ago to take care of my mother, I had to have a hobby and therapy. So I took up stained glass, and it just is something that when I get all stressed, that's what I do. And I got to thinking, when Jeff was selling the bracelets, what could I do? I mean, I should be doing something. I wish I had a lot of money to donate, but I don't. So I figured I'd try to do something that we could either raffle off or auction off or something like that. So I talked to Jeff, and then
Jeff Ferris.
Right. I talked to Jeff, and I went into Melissa's store about a week later and to buy my addiction of the Flatow's fine food stuff that she has over there. And we just got to talking, and when you talk to Melissa and you get an idea in Melissa's head, just back up.
You're exactly right about that.
Just back up and let it happen, because she is amazing. She took the idea. I was stumped for what to do. We were trying to think, do we do something with USM? Do we do something with the NCAA? And our divine guidance, I was on Facebook, and Scott Dossett had a wood home plate with the eagle in the middle and his name on top. And I just looked at it and I went, that's it. That's the piece that I need to do for Corky.
How long did it take you to make it? Because it's beautiful.
Once I got all the glass in and started working on it, it took me about 2 months to finish it.
Uh-huh. Right.
So
it really is a piece of art. You know, it's funny you said that about Melissa. Kelly said in the first segment that a lot of times when you have these raffles, people will say, I didn't know about it. Well, I think with Melissa spearheading this for all of us, that's not going to be a problem, Ms. Gandy. I think everybody's going to know about this.
Absolutely. Like I said, if you give her an idea, she is incredible at what she does.
But
she is selfless.
The art of stained glass, though, I mean, I'd like to be able to do that, but how do you just sit down and do, where did you learn the art form?
I learned it from a lady named Gail Taylor in Purvis, Mississippi.
No kin, okay.
But kind of person that you meet them and you say, I've known you all my life. So sweet, incredible lady. She is right across the street from Purvis High School, and she teaches out of her home. So you can go, you pay for a class, you learn how to do it. And I loved it so much, I took a room under my house and made it my studio. So I have a huge room downstairs in my house, and I have turned it into a stained glass studio.
Bob, I wish you could see one of the works that Barbara Taylor Gandy put together for President Emeritus Aubrey K. Lucas. It's the dome, essentially, at Southern Miss, with a bow tie on the top of the building.
That's awesome.
And she presented that
to Dr. Lucas, yeah.
Yeah, tell us about that work.
Well, Dr. Lucas, with the Taylor family, we've been at USM since the 50s. And one person that has been incredible for our family has been Aubrey K. Lucas, and a lot of people. He's made a lot of difference in a lot of people's lives. So I wanted to do something for him, and I was actually in the dentist chair with his son, mouthful of cotton, and we're talking about it.
And his son is a local dentist.
Alan is a local dentist, and Alan and I got to talking, and I said, I want to do something to say thank you for your dad. He gave us 13 degrees. He signed 13 degrees for the Taylors as we went through USM. Of course, he was my mom and dad's boss when they were working at USM.
He actually signed 4 bail bonds for me. So that's another story. That's another story entirely.
But. So and he did a beautiful eulogy at my father's funeral. So how do you thank somebody that has just been such a huge part of your life? So they named the building after him. I ordered a special kind of glass that you really can't see through, but it's black and gold, and it's got a pattern in it. And I was looking at it, and I said, I need something that screams the Lucas building. And what iconic figure do you associate with Dr. Lucas?
A bow tie.
Other than the bow tie.
Right.
It was simple. It was so simple. So I did the building and put a huge black bow tie on the building and gave it to him about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. And he is the most gracious. He and Miss Ella are just the most gracious,
yeah, he's a wonderful,
wonderful
guy,
human beings.
No question.
Absolutely.
Ms. Candy,
yeah, and
let me ask you this question. I want to ask you this story before we get back to Melissa. And I want you to tell me if this is true. I've heard this from 100 different people. Your dad was Pete Taylor, correct?
Correct.
So Coach Taylor comes into the baseball facility one day to watch a baseball game. And the young girl there taking up the tickets stops him and says, do you have a ticket? And he says, no, dear, I don't have a ticket. And she says, well, I can't let you in. And he said, dear, well, look out at the field. The field is named after me. I don't have to have a ticket. So she looks out at the big sign that says Pete Taylor Park, and she turns around and says, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Park, you can come right in. Have you ever been told
that? That is a true. That is a true story. That is an absolutely true story.
I'm sure she was a brunette.
One of the other things, when they named the stadium after Dad, he was joking with them that he wanted his name on that wall, that Stevie Wonder could see it. And when you walk in, he would look at it and he'd go, man, they took me seriously. They took me seriously.
That's and great. As we're here at Fuzzy's Tacos in Midtown, Bob, for homecoming, certainly I want to, you know, we had the original Dixie Darling, 86 years of age, on the show a couple of days ago.
Right.
And Pete Taylor, and I don't want Barbara to get emotional, but Pete Taylor was one of the true gentlemen of Southern Miss. And when you, going back to his high school days at St. Stanislaus, his locker mate was Doc Blanchard, who went on to play football for Army and won the Heisman Trophy. And Pete Taylor was his locker mate down at St. Stanislaus. And then how Pete Taylor built this baseball program to where Scott Barry and, you know, Corky Palmer and then now Scott Barry have carried it on. I just want Barbara and the whole family to know, though your dad is gone, he's not gone. Mm. And, of course, Mom is still here.
He was a wonderful man.
Yeah.
He was the one. He changed a lot of lives. You know, we say that he might have not won a lot of ball games like a lot of coaches do, but he didn't win a lot of respect from a lot of his ball players.
Well, there's a lot more to coaching.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, there's a lot more to coaching than how many games maybe you win. It's how many lives you touch and the influence you have. But we want to thank you very much. And, Melissa, before we run out of time, and we have about a minute and 30 seconds left, I want you to go through the process again of how people can buy raffle tickets to win this beautiful piece of artwork, please.
Mm-hmm. So our portal is Galabid, GALABID.com. So you just go there and keyword Corky Palmer medical expenses, or probably any two of those words would get you there. You can purchase raffle tickets for $20 a piece. There's no limit to how many tickets you can purchase, or you can make a direct donation. 100% of the proceeds goes to Corky's medical expenses. You can also buy a physical ticket in Mississippi Made and More. Our store hours are Monday to Wednesday, 10 to 5, Thursday to Saturday, 10 to 6, or Sunday, 12 to 5. We welcome you in to buy raffle tickets there, and there will also be other businesses announced later on that will be selling tickets in town.
And potentially more items as well, right, Melissa?
Yes, correct. Right now we have the grand prize is the home plate stained glass piece. We have one of Corky's game jerseys. We have a smaller stained glass piece with the eagle head that Barbara also made. Several wonderful items.
But you've talked about being very selective in these items,
yes,
too. What's the criteria? What are you looking for before? I mean, I know you don't want to just give away anything, so it's got
to
be.
So it has to be special to Southern Miss, not necessarily baseball, but just something very memorable that anybody would love to have.
Yeah.
Very limited.
And plenty of time to buy these raffle tickets, too, but don't wait. Go ahead and start buying the raffle tickets. Now, I do know that Coach Barry is sending out a letter with the link to every member of the Dugout Club today. And, Melissa, I think you're working on getting that also sent out to Eagle Club members and the universities also, we should say, is helping as well, right?
Absolutely. The foundation has been more than helpful, and they will also be sending it out to all of their members. If you would like the letter or need help with the link, please contact me. Facebook Messenger's fine. It's Melissa Davis Socher.
All right, we'll be doing the Eagle Hour from Melissa's store here very soon, just a few days down the road. We're going to look forward to that. You're still going to have us after you've met Kelly in person. Is that correct, Melissa?
We have your backdrop ready to go. We have transformed the store to Southern Miss. We started 2 weeks ago. We're so excited.
All right, thanks, Melissa. We appreciate you very much. Ms. Gandy, thank you for coming on our show. We're going to continue the Eagle Hour from Fuzzy's Tacos right after this.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, we want to thank Melissa Socher for helping, engineering this fundraising drive for Corky Palmer. Want to thank her for taking time to sit in with us on the show. Also, our good buddy Scott Barry, always appreciate him. We're broadcasting live from Fuzzy's Tacos in Midtown. We've got Caleb Hamill, the newest member of the Golden Eagle family, and Kelly Santer. And, guys, one thing we hadn't gotten around to talking about as we're broadcasting from Fuzzy's this afternoon is, Kelly Santer, it's homecoming weekend, and the Golden Eagles are in real need of a homecoming victory.
And the way the season has gone so far, I would have expected today to have thunderstorms and tornadoes.
Correct. A flood, maybe
else.
A flood.
But the weather has been awesome. In fact, Bob, as you know, the Eagle Hour is available on podcast, and Ed and Donna Sue Smith are here at Fuzzy's watching the show. They're from Brandon, Mississippi, celebrating their 11th anniversary, and Donna Sue agreed to, you know, Ed's a big Golden Eagle fan, and so she said, okay, well, let's go down to Hattiesburg, and they took in the coaches show last night.
Well, great.
At another place in town, and are here watching the program today, and they listen to the podcast. Ed listens to the podcast every single day and loves the show.
Well, we appreciate
a special
that.
Salute, yeah, to Ed and Donna Sue Smith as they celebrate their 11th anniversary.
Now, I've been waiting all hour to do this to ask Caleb this question. Caleb,
I think did I,
go ahead.
Did I say Brandon, Bob?
You said
I said Brandon.
It's Madison.
It is Madison.
Yeah,
correct.
Madison.
Right. Got it.
All right, Caleb, as a Mississippi State graduate, you're very experienced in having bad football seasons. So what advice would you have for Southern Miss fans as they wait for things to turn around here this fall?
Man, you're kind of kicking it back to my younger years there just a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
but I'd say, you know, just strap in, honestly. You know, weather the storm. Because there's nothing as a Mississippi State fan that I hated more than people that jumped on the bandwagon just in 2014 after I was a fan back in 2004 for the Maine loss. And, you know, fans that come in and don't realize what true fandom is through thick and thin.
That's the University of Maine, by the way.
Say that
correct.
Again, Caleb. You said that with such passion. The Maine loss.
But for anybody of the maroon and white, they know that game specifically.
Yeah, I heard a
And I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying about strapping in, Caleb, but this is like a cold front that has been stalled over Hattiesburg for 6 or 7 years and just won't move on, you know, but it will. You know, you're right. It will at some point. God, we hope.
That's just a matter of statistics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like it's like a hurricane that just spins on its axis and won't move inland.
Bob, I know we've still got, you know, Reggie Collier and Jim Carmody, the original Big Nasty, to be on the show, but you went to Southern Miss in the yesteryears, so to speak. What
right.
What memories do you have? I love homecoming. I always have. High school, junior college, it doesn't matter. What memories come to mind for you, Bob, as you celebrated homecoming on campus?
Well, I'm gonna tell you that's easy. My wife and I were here, and we had just finished school, and we were living in Laurel. When the I Believe years broke out, when Bobby Collins put the program on a national platform, when they had the dramatic, I think, 58-13 win over Florida State, the first year that he got him to a bowl game, and as Reggie will tell you later, the toughest game he ever played in his life was that bowl game against McNeese State, and I believe the Independence Bowl. The atmosphere that existed in Hattiesburg during the Bobby Collins era of I Believe, and you know, the rise of Southern Miss football, and the demolition of Ole Miss that Southern Miss was instrumental in putting on them, and no offense to Caleb, we pick at him. He's a loyal Mississippi State guy, and that's a great thing. My dad was, but going to the Mississippi State homecoming game and beating them 45-7 or was something of that nature. So to me, those were the great years, and then that led into the years of Jim Carmody, which I thought was big, tough, nasty, nationally prominent football team that would just beat anybody down they played. So I guess if I have memories, it would be that era of Southern Miss football, which to me was electric to be a part of.
So the memories of you driving backwards up Fraternity Row in the AMC
Pacer. You're not going to let that go, are you, Kelly? You're not going to let that
go.
No.
Not until we get the details of the story. But I have to tell you.
Caleb is googly AMC Pacer just like Luke had to, right?
As we speak.
If our phone and computer haven't overheated, I would.
But it did bring a smile to his face, Bob, when you talked about beating Ole Miss so bad.
Oh, that's one thing we can always unite together in.
Beating Ole Miss.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I remember the 38-8 beatdown in Jackson. And that's another thing, are those great games in Jackson Memorial Stadium with Mississippi State and Ole Miss. The atmosphere was unbelievable. 60,000 roaring fans, 30,000 on each side of the field. Those are great memories, and I feel really privileged to have had a front row seat to all of that.
Homecoming is just a special time, you know.
No question. We'll talk more about that. And, Kelly, it's a great segue because two of the people responsible for that electric era of Southern Miss football are up next on the Eagle Hour. We're scheduled to have a visit from Reggie Collier, Jim Carmody, Justin Harris from Fuzzy's Tacos, and then Caleb, Kelly, and I will do our annual or weekly, I should say, picks all in the second hour. This special edition of the Eagle Hour. We hope you'll stick around.
Record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, we're back for a second hour of the Eagle Hour, and we're glad you're with us on a very special Friday afternoon. We're broadcasting in Midtown from Fuzzy's Tacos with one of our very good friends, Justin Harris, and that great crew at that great establishment. I think really the first restaurant in the Midtown of Hattiesburg. We're really glad to be down there. We've got Caleb Hamill producing the show on site with us today. Kelly's down at the restaurant as well. I'm here at the First Bank studio, Bob Getty in Hattiesburg, and we thank First Bank for everything that they do. We've got a really special second hour coming up. We're going to actually have a reunion of Reggie Collier and his former head football coach, Jim Carmody, on the show. We're going to do our annual or week. I don't know why I keep saying annual. Our weekly picks in Conference USA. But right now we want to bring Justin on the set, who's no stranger to the Eagle Hour. And Justin, I tell you what, it's this is going to be the last time that we ever come to Fuzzy's that I'm stuck in the studio. That I can assure you. But we're glad to be back at Fuzzy's because it makes us realize things are getting back to normal. We appreciate you having us down there, buddy.
Happy to have y'all. We're looking forward to being back to normal as much as anybody, I can promise you.
Well, I know it's been a rough ride for restaurant owners, but things, I know you guys kind of weathered through the storm pretty well, but I see a lot of life back in Midtown Hattiesburg. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. It's been really good once we got things going back, school being back in full swing this fall. So it's been a really pleasant deal to get things back going here.
Yeah, I haven't thought about
Have you found?
I haven't thought about that.
Go ahead.
But
last year you lacked the students because everything was virtual. It has to be a really big change to have all those kids back on campus, because when you and your partners established Fuzzies, I mean, the location clearly says that was what you were going to base a lot of your business model on. We're having kids from Southern Miss participate in your restaurant.
Yes, sir. That's what we are. We're black and gold here. We're, that's our colors here. We're here for USM. That's why we want to be here. We want to be here for the students, the athletes, and obviously the fans to come by before the game, during the week, anytime. We're here for the rest of the community as well, but obviously it's a big plus being right here across from the school.
And if you have any doubt of the impact of Fuzzy's Tacos, I want you to look over there at that producer who is a Mississippi State graduate decked out in Southern Miss black and gold, Justin. Doesn't that do your heart good? Good to see that.
It does. He's learning.
Yeah, in fact, if he would have gotten out of his car today in any other color besides black and gold, the bouncers at Fuzzy's would have said, not another step.
Get on out of here.
Well, you know, I had a blue shirt on to start the day because I've got a PCS game tonight. I said, let me just get dressed for the day. And I thought, in the middle, I've got Southern Miss. I just had to go to Campus Bookmart and get me some apparel. Because I thought, if I'm going to keep doing this, keep living in Hasbury, I've got to represent.
There you go.
Makes sense.
There you go.
And, you know, really, really just about every night of the week, Bob, something's going on at Fuzzy's. Food specials, you know, drink specials. I know we have a really good time on Wednesday nights playing pub poll trivia, where there have been times where they're hanging from the rafters in Fuzzy's where, I don't know if I should even say this on the air, but we had to turn some people away one night because we had so many people.
Full house.
Yeah, in here on Wednesday night. But tell us about some of the specials that you do implement each week, Justin.
Obviously, as Kelly said, Wednesday night's our big trivia night. On Tuesdays, it's Taco Tuesday, and we'll do buy one, get one whales. And Wednesday, it's select pints with our trivia night, which, like Kelly said, you better come early and get your seat, because if you're not here when he gets on the mic and started, it's usually a full house when he's going. So it's hard to get there. And then through the weekend, obviously, Saturday we'll do something, let the bartender pick to do a special. Friday, it's all-day happy hour, so all of our specialty frozen drinks and everything are at discount. So just really have a lot of specials in the week. Each day is a different one, unique one, so we'd like to have everybody come by and try them out.
And today being Friday, Bob, did you hear what he said?
What's that?
Today.
Happy hour.
All day.
Yeah. All long. Day.
Yeah.
And a lot of people couldn't be happier.
Yeah. And it's especially after two. After two of them.
It's only 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. And we're thrilled to be here.
So, Kelly, you work for free drinks and T-shirts on Wednesday nights. Did I have that right?
I make no bones about it. I'm not a proud person. You know?
That's right.
I'm whatever you incentivize, you know, I'm there. But the menu too, Justin. You guys, you talked about Taco Tuesday. You've got
quesadilla special, a burrito special, and then a taco plate on Tuesday, and then. I don't have it right here in front of me. I get them confused on which days, but one day there's a burrito special Fridays, Thursdays quesadilla, nachos are on Wednesday, and then a taco plate on Tuesday.
And they lift the garage door up here that faces the other part of Midtown, so on beautiful days like today, Reggie Collier's starting to stroll up here, but on on days like today, you can roll up the garage door, get the best of indoor, outdoor. If you want to sit inside and enjoy the air conditioning, you can. If you want to enjoy the sunshine, you can be outside or underneath the umbrellas here on the patio as well. I'm surprised that more restaurants in Midtown don't implement the outdoor option.
You're right. That's one of the things when we built this. It's really one of the unique things about that is being able to have the window that we can open and people can walk up or sit at the bar, watch the TV. It's just, you know, a different feel. It really is a different feel when we have that window open.
And we do understand that even if Ole Miss is on national TV, your televisions will not pick those games up.
Who? Good man.
Great answer. Yeah,
even Caleb agrees.
Great answer.
Even Caleb agrees with that. But the cornhole boards are out here. It's on days like today. And
cornhole boards, whatever. It'll be a party. We'll have a live band tonight between 6:30 to 8:30 every Friday night. For about 2 hours, we have a band out here. Weather permitting, we'll have to put it inside when we don't have good weather. But that's been a really good draw as well.
I'll tell you, Justin, my wife and I have lived here since about 2017. And one of the things that we've realized between different college towns that's different for Southern Miss, when we first got here, was nightlife and general proximity to campus was almost non-existent. The majority of anything in extreme downtown was not in walkable distance. You had to make a concerted effort to get down there. And now you have Midtown right here. It feels like this is the perfect location for students coming out of dorms or their fraternity sorority houses just to make themselves at home on any day of the week.
Absolutely, and that's what we are. We want them to be able to feel comfortable. I mean, we have Wi-Fi here. They're able to come in here, use their laptops, do some study, and maybe have a drink if they're legal. Get them some good tacos, obviously. But, yeah, we really want to be, they get tired of being in a dorm or their apartment. I mean, come here and have a good time with us.
Did you say studying, Dustin? I think that probably confused Kelly there for a minute, studying and students. He didn't.
Hey.
I didn't understand.
Let me tell you something, Bob Getty. In my class at Hoover High School in 1979,
right.
I was voted most smartest.
Most smartest, huh?
Most smartest.
Yes, most smartest in 1979.
So, Justin, when you guys set up Fuzzy's, and I think I'm right about this, you can correct me if I'm not, you were really the first business that stepped up and opened there in Midtown. Did you envision what it is now when you opened it, or was that maybe just an optimistic dream?
I mean, it was an optimistic dream. I don't think we had envisioned what was going to happen, and there's still more to come. I mean, they're still going to keep developing it. From my understanding, there's going to be some more office buildings and even more draws in the parking lot as they continue to develop right here.
But it's so far, I think it's been a massive success. I think Caleb speaks to that, but the concept was, I think, very, very smart.
Yes, sir. Very, very much so. And they have the hotel right here and everything and all the businesses around to support it. It's really a unique area.
And because of the location, too, and I don't want to get too descriptive here, but if students do want to, or anyone wants to enjoy an adult beverage, you don't necessarily need an Uber. I mean, because you can walk.
You can walk. You can ride your bike.
In my case, crawl.
You know, that's
to,
right.
To wherever you might be, but it's because of the location. It's and the Hotel Indigo, as you mentioned. And in fact, on Wednesday nights when we do trivia here, a lot of the business people who are in town that stay at the hotel, meander over and enjoy themselves.
Trivia. That's right.
So it's homecoming week, Justin.
Homecoming.
Yeah, football game tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
So tell us about you guys opening up regular time tomorrow?
We are. We're going to be open for regular hours. Obviously, we got the parade rolling through. I think it's a 1 p.m. start. It'll be coming right through here, down right in front of us and then on the school. So we're going to be here all day, happy hour. Still a chalkboard special for our bartenders. We're going to have some frozen Halloween drinks. Obviously, we got the Gold Rush beer for the USM fans. And we're going to have some other specials tomorrow all day. We'll be open for regular hours. So anybody come by before the game, during the game, after the game, we'll have them on TV. We'll have us a good time.
And so if the Eagles win, there will be reason to celebrate?
The Eagles win.
I like that. I like that. But we have to cover all bases.
That's right.
So even if perchance UTEP lucks out, that would give Eagle fans yet another reason to drink.
Drink a few more of that. There's no doubt about it.
I'm intrigued, though, when you mention Halloween special drinks.
There's a witch's brew and a few, like a candy apparita, a few. There's four specialty drinks. I don't have the sheet out here in front of me, but we've got them in there.
Tommy Stoddard's here today. We want to say hello to him as he's watching the Eagle Hour. The Perfect 10, Reggie Collier, has just pulled up, Bob. So we're ready to talk
to him. We'll have Reggie and a special guest to join Reggie right after this.
Southern Miss to the top.
I want to welcome everybody back to the second hour of the Eagle Hour, special two-hour broadcast today. We're at Fuzzy's Tacos, Midtown Hattiesburg, celebrating homecoming for the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. And it is a great privilege for us to have back as a return guest. He's been with us a couple of times, one of the iconic football coaches, certainly at Southern Miss, but one of the iconic football coaches of all time in Mississippi, Jim Carmody, Big Nasty, joins us on the Eagle Hour. Coach, it's always a great privilege to talk to you. We thank you for your time, sir.
Oh, I'm happy to see that, to hear that, and I thank y'all for giving me a call.
Now, Coach, I didn't tell you this before, you know, but I covered your football team as a sports director at Channel 7 and was a big fan of yours. And I always thought that you might have really won some big games if you'd have just had a good quarterback. And unfortunately, we brought the guy on that you got stuck with. He wore a number 10. Do you remember a guy that wore number 10 on your school, on your team?
Did he have a real good game against Alabama?
He tells us he did. I don't know. He told us he did.
See, the guy was running down the field, and Coach Bryant said, "Who is that guy? Where'd you get him from?"
Reggie,
I think I do know.
Jump in here,
okay,
Reggie Collier.
How's it going?
I am doing well. Coach, you been doing all right?
I'm doing good. What are you doing these days?
Oh, I'm working down here in Hattiesburg. I'm at First Bank. And
okay, yeah. Last time I saw you, you were doing that. I think that was at that that party we had for Coach Collins a couple of 3 years ago. You were there.
I'm still in Hattiesburg. Still staying connected with the athletic department and the university. So life is good, Coach. I cannot complain.
That's great. You keeping your golf game going?
I'm doing my best whenever my knees let me do it, but I do my best.
Coach, this is Kelly Sander. He only plays on days that end in Y.
Uh-huh.
He plays a lot of golf.
Coach, it's a great privilege to have you on the show. We're all big fans of yours, and I want you, if you will, and then I'm going to give Reggie the same opportunity, but I want you to put in perspective what a great quarterback Reggie Collier was.
Well, he was one of the best I ever had and that I was ever associated with, and I was associated with some good ones at other places as well as at Southern Miss. But he was a terrific playmaker, and he could throw the ball, and he was fastest guy on the team. And you don't usually find that with a quarterback. So he was a great team guy, and I really enjoyed being his coach. And I was an assistant there 1 year with him, and then I had him when I came back as head coach. When I came back from Buffalo, I had him in it there. I was head coach. And always humble and a guy who worked hard, and he was a very – very, very outstanding player.
You know, that's a great description of Reggie. Reggie is a humble guy. You know, Reggie's about as well known as there is in these parts. But, you know, if you didn't know who Reggie Collier was, he would never tell you. And, Reggie, you told me one time you don't really have much football memorabilia hanging in your house. Is that right?
No, I don't. I don't. I've kind of always been that way. Because, you know, you guys have heard me say it a lot that, you know, especially with the game of football, you know, it's a coordinated effort between 11 people on offense and 11 people on defense and also special teams. Now, I just happen to be fortunate enough that my name is mentioned a lot because I happen to be on a team with some great players and great coaches that set a standard here at Southern Miss. During the period that I was here. But, you know, I wouldn't be where I was if it wasn't for a lot of guys that played on, participated on that team and did their job and did whatever they had to do in order for us to win. So I'm fortunate, you know, on that end of it because, like I said earlier, I was fortunate to play with some great players and be connected with some great coaches, especially with Coach Carmody.
Right. All right. Now, while we have Coach Carmody on the phone, you two men engineered, I don't think there's any argument, was the biggest win in Southern Miss football history. The last team to defeat Bear Bryant broke a 57-game winning streak on their home field. I want to get both of you to talk about that for a minute. Coach Carmody, first of all, your thoughts and your memories about that day that you guys took down the mighty Tide in Tuscaloosa.
Well, I can still see Reggie running down the field for long games. I remember that. We had a play we put in against them. You know, he would turn to the right and would fake the dive, and he would come on down the line, and he could pitch or keep. But I told Keith Daniels, I said, you know, they're overrunning this thing to everybody we play. Why don't we just take him on one step, a counter step, and come back, block down on the backside? And we did that, and one of their players said to the press after the game, he said, "We never saw that play," which means that that was a big surprise for him, and it really hurt him because Reggie, as I recall, made two long runs on that specific play. Reggie, do you remember the number of the play? I don't even remember.
I don't remember the number, but I remember the play specifically, and I remember it clearly. I even remember it the week of during practice. I had the ultimate confidence once we started practicing because, as Coach said, people were kind of overplaying us when we were running option. And when they came in, when we came into the meetings during the week and we put that play in, I was excited. I mean, I was really excited about it because I'm like, this thing is going to work. You know, it's no doubt in my mind it's going to work. And everybody else had confidence that it was working. And we had a good team. We had a rough start that year, but we had ran off six straight games coming in Alabama, so we were extremely confident of what we could do. It didn't matter who we were playing. You know, we felt like we were going to go into Tuscaloosa and definitely come out with the win. But I definitely remember that play clearly.
Coach Carmody, this is Kelly Sander. This is Kelly Sander again. You mentioned the late Keith Daniels, who passed way too young. But how would you were always known as the defensive mastermind, you know, and the creator of the Nasty Bunch. How would you describe your relationship with then-offensive coordinator Keith Daniels?
Well, I'd known Keith a long time. I'd coached with him a couple of times prior to my coming to Ole Miss, I mean to Southern Miss. And so I knew him for a while, and I knew what he could do. And he was one of the first guys I called when I got that job. And I came back from Buffalo and took the job. He was one of the first guys I called. And he was just a terrific coach and a terrific person. As you said, he died far too young. He was an outstanding coach as a head coach in junior college, and he also was an outstanding coach as an assistant coach. And we really had a good relationship.
When you got that phone call to get the Southern Miss job, you know, a lot of people, the layperson, would say that the NFL is the ultimate job. So, did you vacillate about coming back to Southern Miss? What went into your decision-making process of taking the Southern Miss job from the Buffalo Bills position that you had?
Well, you know, I had always wanted to be a head coach in college, and I never even applied for any job in NFL. And Chuck Knox, who was the head coach at the time at Buffalo, called me, and I went up there, and he offered me a job as defensive line coach, and I took the job, and we had a very good year. We were one game from the Super Bowl, I believe. We won our first playoff game. We lost our second one. That's back when you didn't have as many teams playing all the way as you do now. But so when they called, when Coach Dale called me, and I took it right there. You know, I didn't hesitate at all. And my wife said, "Thank goodness." the cold weather got to her. It was pretty rough up there, but it was a great experience, and I enjoyed it. But I really wanted to be a head coach, and that was the opportunity. And I was running out of time. I think I was 48 years old at the time.
Hmm. Coach, what are you doing now? Coach, I know you're enjoying your retirement in Madison, but how are you now? I know the last time we talked to you, you had written a book about your coaching experience. How is life for you these days?
Well, it's fine, and you know, I like Madison a lot, and we have our family here. You know, we were living in Oxford at one time, and then we kept driving down here because all our kids were playing softball or they were in basketball or playing football. So I told my wife, I said, "Why don't we just move to Madison," which we did about 12, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so we enjoy it here, and I'm really not doing a whole lot as far as play a little golf now and then. We have a big nasty golf tournament which we put on every year here, and that's about it. And we don't do anything right. Different. I work out three times a week at the gym, and my wife has had some health problems, but she's doing better. So
good.
I stay with her as much as I can.
Good. Well, Coach, we want to thank you for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You're
remain and always will be an iconic figure here at Southern Miss. And what a great moment for our program to have you reunite with Reggie on the show. And thanks so much, Coach. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, one last thing is I talked to you the other day, and my grandson, Chase yes. Carmody, is the head coach at Pass Christiane, and he is Keith's son, and he's been coaching several years now, and so we're proud of him. He's doing well.
No question. Thank you, Coach Carmody. We appreciate you, sir.
All right. See you later, Reggie.
All right, Coach. Take care.
All right, Coach Jim Carmody, everybody. We're going to continue the Eagle Hour at Fuzzy's Tacos with the Perfect 10, Reggie Collier, with Caleb Hamill and Kelly Sanders. So don't go anywhere.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Well, we want to thank former head football coach Jim Carmody for joining us. That was really a cool moment to reunite him with his quarterback, Reggie Collier. Of course, Coach Carmody, the only person that was a defensive coordinator at all three Division I schools in Mississippi, really a legendary football coach. We're broadcasting live today, Midtown, at Fuzzy's Tacos. Reggie Collier continues to stay with us. You there, Reggie?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, glad to have you, man, and I appreciate you coming on. I had to be kind of cool to have an opportunity there to talk to your head coach, and we didn't really get a chance to ask you about that. But what was it like playing for Jim Carmody? How would you describe playing for Big Nasty?
Well, it was intense. It's always intense with Coach Carmody. You know, we were together my first 2 years when he was the defensive coordinator here at Southern Miss. And, you know, Coach Carmody was serious about his job and what he did, and he wanted his players to be serious about it, which they were. And, you know, Coach Carmody was all about defense, all about defense. He could care less about what the hell we were doing on the other side of the ball.
He didn't care.
And, no, he really didn't. Just as long as, you know, we scored more points than they gave up.
Right.
Which, you know, every coach does. But he was pretty intense, and everybody knew Coach Carmody was intense. Wasn't a lot of joking, messing around. It was all about doing your job, doing what you're supposed to do. And if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, you got an apple and a bus ticket. Okay? So.
But isn't it fair to say, though, Reg, that he would epitomize the phrase old school?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. And, you know, he brought that mentality back when he came back as the head coach, which, you know, a lot of us were relieved when he did come back because it was someone we knew. Someone and he knew us, so there was that familiarity of having somebody not knowing, you know, because back then you didn't have access to internet, social media, things you have right now. So everything was rumored as to, you know, who was coming, you know, all this other stuff. But, you know, right after Coach Collins announced that he was leaving SMU, it was announced that Coach Carmody was coming in. As new head coach, so we felt a lot of relief because he knew the personnel, he knew the players, and then some of the key people he brought in we didn't know, like he mentioned Coach Daniels, and which I had much love for Coach Daniels. Coach Daniels was great, he really was, and I was fortunate to be able to actually, you know, have him coach me during my senior year.
So Coach Roland Dale, who was the athletic director at the time,
right.
is it fair to say then he didn't necessarily ask you guys as to who you might want as a head coach?
Oh no, that was a different culture. I mean, it's not like now where you know they may come and ask a certain player what they think, how they think. No, it wasn't about that. It was this is who your job, this is what your job is, this is who your coach is, and you deal with it.
And I figured that would be the answer, but I just wanted to make sure that
I
asked.
Yeah. You've been doing this too long, Kelly. I mean, it's a whole lot of change. I mean, the culture, I mean, the whole atmosphere of football and how they treat players and not to say that it's bad, but it was a different, completely different culture.
All right, so this is weekend. This is homecoming weekend, Reggie Collier, and you've got a bunch of the guys that you regularly hang out with anyway, anyway, during regular season, other than homecoming. So is the line of bowl that will be spread this weekend, Is it raised to a whole new height this weekend?
It is. It is. I mean, it starts out, like I was telling you earlier, you know, a five-yard run that happened 40 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, it's a 40-yard run. And then all of a sudden, you ran over five or six people. You know, you go from scoring two touchdowns to 20 touchdowns. And then all of a sudden, somebody pull it up on the internet and say, that's not true. That's not true. You're lying. You know, but it's not necessarily what they do. It's how they do it. You know, and what we do. We get together, all of us former athletes, as many as we can. We've been doing this for well over 15 years. Myself, Sammy Winder, Darrell Tillman, Greg Reed, Grant Culliver, Cliff Lewis. We have a number of guys that come for the home games, but you know, homecoming is special.
Yeah,
and you know, we create an atmosphere over at our little tailgate spot is on the other side of the Coliseum, over at the intramural fields, where we, as former athletes, we try to create an environment where we want every former athlete, it doesn't matter what you play, football, basketball, soccer, whatever the case may be, to come over and join us, because we got plenty of food, we have plenty to drink, and it doesn't cost anybody any money. So, you know, just... You know.
And Bob Getty, a word to the wise, if those athletes that are listening are going to join Reggie and those guys this weekend, you might want to wear some hip waders, because the line of bull.
Well, one thing I'm confused about right now, Reggie, I heard Coach Carmody say that you were the fastest guy on the team. Sammy Winder has told us on numerous occasions that's just not true. He was the fastest guy on the football team.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So you're not saying it's true?
No, you know, Sammy will run through a brick wall. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Sammy to death.
He wasn't as fast as you.
We had this running joke. I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but we had a running joke. This is when we were playing. I think it was his senior year, my junior year. Sammy would break a run every game, and he'd get caught. I remember the first time he broke a run early in the season. I raised my hands. I'm like, he's gone. He's going to score. Of course, he got caught.
Yeah, DB's catching him.
And it happened again and again. So whenever he would break it, like maybe the sixth or seventh game into the season, when Sammy would break a run, I just started trotting down the field because I knew somebody was going to catch him. We knew somebody was going to catch him, in which somebody always did. And the time he didn't get caught, which was in Tallahassee against Florida State, he stepped out of bounds. So, now, it depends on how much let me put it this way. It depends on how much what's in Sammy's cup at that particular time.
And how many cups have been in his
will determine how fast he is.
Yeah, okay, I got you. The liquid courage.
Right, I wouldn't call it courage, because when Sammy has, he's got plenty of courage in it. But it's just, I don't know. I'm at a loss for words when I'm trying to describe it. But you know, just when that little cup, the more cups, the faster he gets.
But isn't this the truth? You and Sammy Winder have been very close friends since the day you played football. You remain that way today, don't you, Reggie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. We're actually closer now than we were when we played. I mean, of course, when you're teammates, you have a bond that's created that will last a lifetime, whether you're seeing people or not, whether you stay in communication with them or not. You still have that bond that you'll carry the rest of your life. But, you know, the past 18 years I've been back in Hattiesburg, I mean, we're just as close as ever, along with some of those other guys. It's just one of those things that's never going to go away.
And I want to ask about that, because people who have not played sports, they can't comprehend, and it's not their fault necessarily, but really, out of your entire life, you're essentially talking about 4 years.
Right.
4 years, the most impactful years of your life were 4 years.
Right.
What is it about playing football in your case?
Well, think about
that. That develops that inseparable bond.
Because you go through so much. You go through so much during the course of those 4 years. I mean, nobody's actually, yeah, we love the game of football we play, but nobody was holding a gun in your head to get up and do what we did when we did it. The August working, you know, the 2 days.
Which don't even exist anymore.
They don't exist now. But, you know, you're practicing at 9 o'clock, then you're practicing at 3 o'clock for 2 weeks straight doing that. And just that
that the feeling that you get, that still to this day, when I walk into the stadium, there's no other feeling like that in the world. It really isn't. At the beginning of a game, when you walk into the stadium, that feeling, whether it be a home game, away game, which I enjoy the away games, but that's something. And you think about it. You know, we stayed in the same dorm. You ate together. You slept together. You practiced together. We spend virtually 20 hours a day. You know, that's a little exaggerated. We spent at least about 12 to 13 hours a day where we're sitting there looking at each other, talking with each other, communicating with each other in one way or another, whether it's sitting around the dorm acting a fool, eating together, practicing together. Our weekends were tied together. So whenever we traveled, we were together all the time. So that's that common bond that an athlete has that a person who does not play, participate in sports will never understand. And yeah, I did my best to describe it, but it doesn't even do it justice.
No, you did well, though.
All right, Reggie, I got
one more thing real quick just before we go to break. With this being homecoming weekend, similar situation. People may not know this about you. At one point, you were a third-string quarterback, and for Southern Miss this weekend, got a guy with a similar story coming in. Just what's kind of the vibe and been going through his head before he's got this big game coming up?
Well, I wasn't a third-string quarterback here. I was second team.
Oh, second team.
Yeah, second team. Just want to get that key. I just want to get that out there.
He's a Mississippi State fan.
Yeah, straighten
him out. That 1980 still haunts me.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Straighten him out, Reggie.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter right now because he's the starter. He's the number one guy. It doesn't matter what happened last week. It doesn't matter what happened a month ago, where he was on the depth chart a month ago. That doesn't matter right now. The fact is he is the starting quarterback, and that's how he has to approach it. I am the starting quarterback. I'm no longer a third team. I'm a walk-on, whatever the case may be. Whenever you step on that field, when they kick it off, you're a starter. Job is, the thing is to get the job done. Do what you can. You know, don't try to do too much. Just do what you can. Do what you're supposed to do, and he'll be fine.
And we're going
to
whoop UTEP.
Reggie Collier, you remain our number one guest on Eagle Hour. You've been probably on the show more than anybody, and we always welcome you, my friend.
Still ain't got a check.
There, it's in the mail, Reggie. I told you that. It's in the mail.
Yeah.
Reggie Collier,
he's heard
everybody.
That
we'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Eagle Hour, live here on location at Fuzzy's Tacos. We've got a lot left for you here in our final segment of the Eagle Hour. We've got a whole bunch of guests here, not only just myself and Kelly, but we've also got Justin here from Fuzzy's Tacos. We also have a visitor from Madison who came down all this way just to see Kelly Santer, and I can't think of a more unfortunate set of circumstances to bring you to Hasbro. But we're glad you're here, Ed Smith, down in front of me.
Yeah, he's either put him on the Eagle Hour or he would serve me with a subpoena. So we opted for the latter, and we're going to pick our collegiate games this week, Caleb. And you are our guy that's directing the ship here. So where are we going?
Man, I am as unfamiliar with Conference USA and how everybody's doing this year.
It's amazing because a lot of America says that same thing.
I do see one right off the bat. We've got an SEC versus Conference USA matchup, but it's against Missouri, so it barely an SEC matchup. North Texas going to face the Tigers of Missouri. And Kelly, what do you think right off the top of the bat? Do you think anybody's going to be watching that game, first of all?
No, I don't. But both of those teams are two of the weaker teams in their conferences, so I will take, regardless of where it is, I'll take the Missouri Tigers.
Justin, what about you?
That's pretty simple. I'm going to go with Mizzou.
All right. Ed, do you want to pick it?
I do. I'll go with Missouri on that one.
All right. Pick the mighty SEC right there. All right. How about
Wait a minute, Caleb. You didn't pick.
I'm still going to go with Missouri.
Okay. All right.
Not to just show my SEC loyalty there, but I just think that they'll have what it
we
takes.
We all know that Missouri should be in the Big 12 anyway. That's where they were.
Okay.
Before.
Well, let me interject here and say that we have used the term SEC more than enough for this show. So let's move on.
All right. Middle Tennessee and Liberty. That's going to be at 2:30 on ESPN3. Kelly, what you got?
Midland, you know, I really thought Liberty was not going to win last weekend, and they handled UAB pretty easily. So the Flames have made believers out of me. I'll take them to beat the Blue Raiders.
Justin?
That's a pretty simple one, too. Whether love him, hate him, I believe Hugh Freeze can coach. I'm going with Liberty.
Do you think Hugh Freeze, Justin, will get a shot again at like a major school?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think he will.
Yeah, hands down. I mean, it's all about winning. So.
Right.
Ed?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Liberty. Hugh Freeze, I think, can do the job. You know, I watched that game last year with Southern Miss, and that quarterback is good.
Yeah. And Liberty, I think Southern Miss plays Liberty next year. They're on the schedule for next year.
Yes. I was not familiar with that one.
Yeah.
And I'll take Liberty as well. They're a powerhouse in their own right this year and last year, and I think they'll carry it through into this week as well. Bob, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Liberty easily wins the game. They're a very good team.
All right, one final one here. Florida Atlantic and UAB. Same time, this one on Stadium.
Where's that game? Is that at Birmingham?
I think it's at Birmingham.
Wow, that should be a good one. But I'll take UAB to defend their home field. But that I would not be surprised if the Owls pull the upset, but I'll take the Blazers.
That's a good appetizer wetter right there.
Yeah.
It is. I don't know. UAB took it on the chin pretty hard with Liberty. I'd expect them to bounce back and being at home. I don't know a whole lot about Florida Atlantic other than Kiffin left and Willie Taggart's there now. So I'm going to go with UAB in the home field advantage.
Ed, who are you taking?
I'm going with UAB, although I enjoyed Southern Miss beating FAU and The Rock last year. But I think UAB is going to go.
All right, Bob, what do you think about FAU and UAB?
Well, I agree with that. I enjoyed that as well. But the Owls haven't been the same since Kiffin left for the dark side. I think UAB wins the game.
All right, and I'll take the Blazers as well. All right, you want to look at a couple of NFL games before we pick the Southern Miss game?
Yeah,
this week?
And then we can also look at a Bengals game.
Oh, yes.
Oh. The 3-1 Bengals you're talking about.
Let's go ahead and jump into that. Bengals hosting the Packers this weekend.
The 3-1 Bengals. The 3-1 Bengals,
go ahead,
right?
Kelly. Packers this weekend, Kelly.
I'll take the Packers.
Justin, Bengals, Packers, who you got?
It's at home in Cincinnati?
Yeah, it is.
I think everybody's going to go with the Packers. I'm going to go with the Bengals to upset them.
Oh, Justin, have you been drinking on the job? You haven't been drinking.
Okay. You mentioned the NFL these days, Ed?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, I think he's going to do it.
All right, I'll take the Packers as well. Bob, you've already said Packers, right?
Of course everybody's going to take the Packers.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I picked the Bengals.
That's right, Justin.
I hear you, Justin.
Going alone.
All right, the Washington football team is hosting the New Orleans Saints this weekend. Bob, do you think your football team will get it done?
Are you referring to the Redskins, Caleb? Yes, I do think that the Washington,
never heard of them.
That the Washington Redskins will defeat the New Orleans Saints Sunday.
I'm telling you, I don't know which Saints team will show up this week. I mean, they stunk to high heaven last weekend, which would lead me to believe that the good team will show up this week. I'll take the Saints on the road.
Come on, Justin.
I agree with Kelly. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. They're going to
come on.
It'll be a defensive game, and then I'm going to go with the Saints.
Come on, Justin.
I'm going to go with the Saints. They're one of my teams.
Well, Bob, I have to admit, Washington was my defense for fantasy football a couple weeks ago, and not only did they fail me, they also gave me negative points
in
my fantasy football league. I want no part of them. Give me New Orleans.
You guys are so disappointing. All right, very quick, around the horn. Southern Miss beats UTEP. Caleb?
Southern Miss.
Southern Miss.
Southern Miss.
Southern Miss to the top.
There we go.
Hey, Justin, thanks for having us down there. Ed, thanks for joining us. Justin, we'll be seeing you again soon.
Enjoyed it.
All right.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, guys.
Okay, buddy. That's it from Fuzzy's Tacos in Midtown. Now, Ed, we want you to join in on this. Until the next time, Southern Miss.
To the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.